things that make you feel like you're worthy, when from the start we were all created and we're all very worthy.
Yeah.
Because we're being watched every day.
Right.
We're being loved every day. Amen. And, you know, so many people around us, like, they forget that. And that's the most beautiful thing.
Right. I think where I struggle a little bit with some of those beliefs, I definitely believe that I did not create myself. Definitely believe there is a father. But the way that Roman Catholicism was presented to me was very crazy. The mental health of my father's side of the family isn't that great. To the point where scripture or passages would be explained to me in such a way that it was just like a childish nightmare. It would really make me feel like, why was I ever created? If I'm just going to be, you know, in this big trap for my entire lifetime, and at the end of it, I'm probably never going to get out of the snare. You know, and it creates a lot of anxiety. So when I went through, like, my hippie phase, which I love, it came about through the natural organic co-op, because a lot of those people that came through there are from the 60s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it kind of gave me such a an opening to perceiving that, you know, maybe these Western beliefs I don't really resonate with, or, you know, what do these people think, you know, and trying to find that center where I still feel connected to some of my roots like that in my beliefs, while also finding things that help me cultivate inner peace. Whereas I took up meditation and, you know, it has just enhanced my psychology, my perception of self, my inner peace, to the point where maybe some people on my father's side would say, oh my God, you're meditating, you're emptying your mind, that's the devil, you know, so just crazy stuff like that. That's where it gets, you know, too much for me. And to look at, big thing I'm struggling with is to look at the world that when God created Adam and Eve and then Eve ate the apple, that it corrupted nature. Why would God ever corrupt nature by creating a creation that's going to end up triggering that? Do you know what I'm saying?
It's almost so that there can be a free will to choose to love him and take his forgiveness. Because a big piece of, I think, Christianity that gets missed is do all the right things and there's no grace. There's no forgiveness. They don't tell the story of the lifelong rapist on the cross by Jesus, who apologized to Jesus when he recognized he was God. And Jesus said, you'll be with me today in heaven, my son. That part gets skipped over. And it's like, do the right thing, do the right thing, do the right thing. Never sin, never sin, never sin. You'll go to hell. But what they don't talk about is repent to your brother, yes, and be healed.
Repentance,
and there's grace.
Repentance is very the kernel of Catholicism.
How many times am I going to forgive my brother? Seven?
Right, with reconciliation. Yeah.
Another great example is one of the disciples asked, hey, how many times do I forgive my brother before I stop forgiving him? Seven? And Jesus says, try 70 times seven. These are the pieces that is like, okay, he gave us free will. He gave Lucifer free will, and he became Satan. God let him. Because he gives free will, because he's a loving God. And
right.
He did so much, even though he loves us anyways, and could have wiped us out a million times. Here we are, still, he's holding together creation, right? And he's still like, I forgive you, I love you. And even in my life, I feel like he's prepared me to it, where it's like, I needed him so badly, and it's like, I don't care if I'm a sinner and I mess up, because I love you, God. And I love what you've done in my life, and I see you working, and I see the connections, and I connect the dots, and just being baptized with the Holy Spirit and feeling that, God, and the way you're working with my family and my non-Christian family starting to go to, like, church and, like,
yeah,
like pray,
amazing.
And it's like, what a transformation you've made in my life in the last 8 months. And people,
yeah,
I see from the past, they are like, dude, what happened to you?
Yeah.
I don't even have to say a word.
Yeah,
because they can tell.
Your testimony is just amazing. Like, it's a great prime example of when you flip the switch to, you know, believe in God once more, all the changes that can happen. how it changes your perspective on life, you know? Like, what I've seen does. Just from you. But I think, and for you, I think maybe if you re-spark it, you know? Because I'm Catholic, too.
Yeah.
And
we went
you
can see the cathedral, the Basilica Cathedral over there.
Yeah, and it's very traditional, and it's very, like...
religious.
You do it like this. It's very religious, which you would know. And it's all about, even though there's religion all around you and surrounding you, and you feel like it's set in way, and this is the only way, that's not true,
no.
You know? Those are just values, you know? That's just what they do to...
Uh-huh.
Oh, to give homage to God, you know, like, this cathedral has been established to show our grand love, what we can create with our hands, to show you how wonderful, you know, things like that, but I think, ultimately, it all comes down to how yourself, your Holy Spirit inside of you, experiences God, and growing your relationship with God, you know,
right.
Just speaking to Him, praying to Him, talking to Him, and learning how to listen to Him, working from within you. And it's naturally in us because that's why we want to serve others around us. You know, God created us through His own image, you know. And, you know, that's why I think, especially for me, why I have such a passionate desire to create, you know, to make something. And it's gone beyond that even now to the point where I want to show others that they're capable of doing it too, you know. So I feel that strong connection, that's, you know, what God had given to me to do on this earth, you know. But, you know, you'll find what yours is, what God's created you to do here.
I think I think what's going on for me as far as, you know, the conflict of belief and stuff, it's opening me up to greater depth perception, you could say, in the world, greater access to different things. Maybe it's created me more a little bit liberal in my beliefs, but something that I've experienced is even when I jump into the void of, oh, I'm neglecting all these beliefs, sometimes I don't feel scared in the dark, because what I say is, it's in German, Gott mit mein Geist macht frei, like, with my spirit make free, because I can't keep sitting here and contemplating these beliefs, because it'll drive me crazy. Like, it will make my existence feel scary to the point where, like, I don't want to be in it. And another thing that I've said before too in the past is that God, with my every breath, lead me. Okay, I feel like Catholicism really teaches you an active, you know, ritualistic, you need to hit certain bullet points or you don't qualify. In my experience, I really feel like it's more natural than that. I feel like it's more intimate, to the point where God understands your heart. He understands how your soul works, how your mind works.
Yeah.
And He knows that there's only going to be one way that you're going to make decisions and drive through. And what Nick was saying to me, because he's also a Christian, was that, you know, some people are going to choose sin to learn their lesson, or they're not.
Well, yeah.
And I feel like in the actions that I've taken have made me the person I am, which is going to give me insight when I need it in the future. And it scares me sometimes, but at the same time, it grants me great power. Because I like to play baseball because I feel like I'm breaking space-time. And that's such a mental trip to get around. Because I was telling Chris, I have intuitive flashes of what the future looks like. And they can be anywhere from 3 months out to next week to... And I'll live through those moments, and it will be like powerful deja vu. And at those moments, like, I already know what to do. It's freaky. And I think that's why it translates into baseball, is because an opportunity presents itself, and I've already visualized it so many times that to secure the future, yeah, you hit the ball, or do you catch the ball, or, you know. Baseball has this beautiful metaphor of maximization, uh-huh, and future contemplation and calculating the past, where if you don't go all out, you'll miss that ball by inches, millimeters, seconds. Like, it's the one thing that I feel like if there was something that I wanted to have happen in my life more than anything in the world, it would be to be a Major League Baseball player. Because at that point, it's almost out of body. It's almost like I step into my power, my role. Because I feel like when the ball comes through the zone, God's like, it feels like God's like, Wyatt, your free will, you drive the universe right now. And I feel like I'm always driving the universe forward in my choosing. So when it comes down to that pitch, I feel like God gives me ultimate responsibility to the point where, like, it's going to get supernatural. My talent, the work ethic I'm putting through, yeah, I want it to be godly.
Yeah.
But I don't want to say that I am a god.
Of course not.
Right. No, I see where you're going.
That's a lot of responsibility.
I think... Yeah.
Yeah.
For real.
I think that's a real gift that you've been given, that you have such great foresight, you know, where you said it almost seems like
it's an open-minded perspective with that,
yeah,
which like almost equips that other abilities,
uh-huh,
and then you see when it does come and then you're able to reflect on it, like, oh, that just happened, you know.
Right.
Not a lot of people get that.
I've had moments already in the couple of years I've been grinding to make my comeback that just 2 months ago I played on a professional field. I got to play on the St. Paul Saints field, CHS, in downtown Minneapolis, or St. Paul. And to walk out onto that field and think, okay, my entire grind has got me, as an amateur baseball player, onto a professional field. This is the work environment I want for myself. My name, Wyatt, quite literally means like warrior, like little warrior. And my last name, it's as weird as it sounds, Kirks, almost sounds like curse, because the mental health of my dad's side is all out of sorts. I have a couple uncles that are in loony bins, and you know, they struggle. You see them at family Christmas after church and stuff, you know they're struggling. And it almost feels like if I'm going to be cursed or cursed or whatever you want to say, if my fate is a tragic story, let it be of a warrior's tale, the hero's journey, even if it ends poorly. Like, because I feel like if I were to grind, can continue to grind, if I were to die in a month or 2 months or whatever, the amount of grind I've already put out there, like, I feel like could already be a documentary. I've already given to the field of psychology. I've given to the field of baseball. I've given, you know, I've put it all out there. And, man, it's got me into some places. It's got me thinking deep. But I want to say I'm, like, a very liberal Christian who, like, practices meditation and studies Zen and philosophy and psychology, because I feel like that's where I can thrive. That's where I can be okay with existence as it is.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to think that the creator
the only
will,
problem with that though.
Yeah.
And this is my opinion, but is if you go through life through your own strength and not through the reliance on God being the Almighty in control of your fate, because he already knows the day you're going to die. He already knows everything about you.
Mm-hmm.
Every line on your thumb, you know, everything. So he created you. The thing about it is, if you're trying to live your entire life through your own strength, you're going to find that you're only comparing your life to those that are around you. And you should be comparing your life to God himself. And we would never be to his perfection.
Oh, no.
We wouldn't. We could never match up to it.
No.
But God wants us to see all... He wants to see us performing and doing righteous things, you know? And
right.
What he loves to see through us is himself. And when we turn to ourself away from what he would be like, and we're doing it for ourselves and not for him, that's exactly what sin is. That's the root of sin. And that's called pride. You
okay.
know? And we aren't designed to be proud of ourselves. We're designed to be proud of others. We're designed to be faithful, you know, human beings that want to see each other live in peace and harmony, you know.
Right.
We're not here to drive each other into the ground, you know. So, really, it gets back to being selfless and being a servant.
And I feel like that. I know the big reward at the end for me, if I can manifest the daydream of my life, would be to be a Major League Baseball player. But it feels selfless in the fact that if I step into that power, I won't abuse it. I'd be stepping into purpose. I feel like my drive is purpose. I definitely have gone through a major spiritual awakening with, you know, God, what is my purpose? And I'm proud to say that when I wake up in the morning, I'm striving towards my goals, whether or not, you know, I have everything down, you know, internally. And obviously I'm not against God at all.
Yeah. It's just that sometimes I feel that Christians or like liberal Christians who fall away with their relationship to God, that close connection, that I'm a person, I do good things, I know I'm going to make my way into heaven, and I'm just going to live life day by day, knowing that if I do good things, I'll be there. That's not good enough for God. It's really not. It's like, you need to really devote yourself to your relationship directly to God, you know, through knowing Jesus, through opening the Bible and reading, learning, wanting to know more. You got to show you're dedicated, you know, because everything in the world around us is just distractions, because it's all made by man. There's so much made by man now.
True.
Than when the world was originally created, that, you know, we need to be very aware and cognizant of that.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what's pulling you away from your faith. That's what's pulling you away from your belief in God, and that closeness, that wonderful thing that you could have. And the cool part about it is when it becomes more and more genuine, this relationship to God, and
yeah.
praying with your full-on heart, your Holy Spirit, it's going to be filled up. You know, he's going to just come and, like, give you all of his love. And then when I feel my Holy Spirit being fed, you know, given, like, life by God directly, I get goosebumps. Like, I know that God is in the presence of me when I get my goosebumps. Like, that's just like my ultimate, like, okay.
Yeah.
I know that he's right here with me right now, and like, you know, and that just reassures me that, yeah, God is real and he's here, and it's like, whoa. But it's also the almost too good to be true coincidences that show up in your walk of life. Like, okay, God, I know. You know, it's like, you're doing something here, like, I know what you're doing, and thank you. You know, then it's crazy. I don't know how else to explain it, but once you really grow that relationship, things start happening where you know it's God's work and it's God's will. He's kind of rewarding you generously for that. And sometimes he'll put you through, like, trials.
Oh, I'm definitely going like, through them.
If he sees you falling away, he wants you to be deconstructed to the point where you rely upon him. You know?
Right.
And that's
because
why
he knows it's better for you in the long run.
Right, and he knows it's going to make you a stronger person, but he's also going to have the hope of that you're going to turn to him in the most time of need.
Okay.
Yeah, and yeah.
Yeah. Something that I've done, I kind of, so when I kind of got into, you know, Eastern philosophy, that kind of stuff, like that kind of study, it's like 2/3 of the world, right? Christianity is like 33%. It's really hard for me to look at the other 66% and think that they're dying every day. And I feel like why would the creator create 33% and then have 66%, you know?
Do you ever think he didn't create that though, and that's the result of free will?
66%.
This Christian faith is not easy, and you know there's also not just a God, but an evil one too.
Yeah, I think.
Right.
And he runs the world. God runs heaven. So
yeah.
We're in his.
No, I understand.
Domain.
Like,
but it is.
You know
a tough
what I mean,
one.
Though.
It is a tough one.
That, like,
an
tough
infant
one.
Child born in Thailand dies of infant complications. What happens to that soul? Oh, it's never been baptized. You know, all
well,
these, you
yeah,
can list all these certain things, right?
Is that something that's specific to Catholicism? Because I've never heard that.
Catholicism teaches that you have an active relationship with God.
Right.
But you also, over the course of your lifetime, participate in sacraments. So there's 7 of them. 7?
Yeah.
So that would be like your baptism, which you were baptized, right?
Right.
It'd be like your baptism, communion,
right.
Holy marriage, all those different things.
Yeah.
But
and
I,
it just,
I mean, I don't think either one of us are going to hit the holy marriage. So does that mean it's over for us?
Well, the thing that you got to remember is God didn't create religion. Man created religion to respect God.
Right.
And literally, religion is like it's a community that comes together and they have a set of, rules or laws or whatever you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they believe. That's what man made to believe of a construct to help and assist you to get your way to heaven. So any religion you pick, even if it's within Christianity, it's just a construct. And if it's your destiny to like leave Catholicism, if it's the only thing that helps you find and reach to God, then do it. You know? Like, I can understand, like, your past with Catholicism, like, why maybe you feel like it's not for you, and that's okay. You know? And, but yeah, you know, it's all about you and your direct connection.
To God.
To God, yeah.
Right.
It really is. And then back to, like, when you were talking about, well, you know, the whole world, there's all this religion, this population around the world, and they don't believe in our God. They believe in, I don't know, all the other gods, right? Well, in the Bible, too, it does say that, you know, Christianity is a very narrow path. And the Christ was sent to us as the Messiah to reveal to us that there is one true God, you know, and I am the one way. And when Jesus walked the earth for his short lifespan that he lived, he was trying to let people see and know the purest form of God himself, you know.
He took on the vessel.
And it basically, the result of Jesus' life here on earth was to show that God, our creator, was killed by
his creation.
His creation, man.
Because of sin.
Because of sin. And he gave that to us as a gift, you know, like, so that's like really huge. And the fact that even though that was revealed to us, that there's still false gods being praised to this very day, I think it's kind of disheartening, you know? And when I look at it in that perspective, you know, conversion is definitely necessary. And that's just what it is, you know. And yeah, Christianity is a very narrow path, but it's very, very certain, and it's very,
yeah,
it's the one way, you know.
Right. It would be the alt. Like, you could see God, obviously Jesus Christ, showing the master's path because he is God. And here's a sort of philosophical question for you. Just because my Roman Catholic family, mostly my dad's side, would constantly push the religion on other people outside of it and other denominations they would constantly fight with. But the way I view it is, if you're both fighting, who's winning?
No one.
And
no one's
the other
in
thing.
That situation.
The other thing too is, a lot of denominations, good people, devout Christians, believe that they are saved. They are saved. The moment Jesus Christ died on the cross was the moment that he died for every sin ever in the entire universe, right? But
If Jesus doesn't know them, if they don't have a relationship with God or Jesus,
yeah.
Their sins are saved, but it seems like as if you would have to pursue him in some way.
Yeah.
Catholicism teaches that. I feel like they teach that it wasn't end all be all, and then some denominations are like, it was end all be all, I'm saved. You know?
What does the Bible say?
It's.
The denominations drive me crazy because I just came into this like, yo, you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Yo, crazy stuff is happening to you, spiritual stuff, like, and you're not on drugs, and you're in this church, and it's happening to other people, and you're getting baptized and getting delivered to demons, and everyone's calling it this, that, and the other thing, and everyone thinks it's fake. And to me, it's just like, this just happens. I'm lucky I even have words for it, because otherwise I'd be freaking out. Got the devil coming for me in my dreams, man, having spiritual nightmares.
Right.
Getting filled with the Spirit. Having crazy things happen to me. Letters describing my childhood from strangers. The day I pray that God show me he's real.
Yeah.
Crazy things.
Not supposed to do.
I know. And you're not even supposed to do that.
God,
you're not even supposed to do that.
Right now. Like, he does not like.
But he did it anyways.
He even says.
And I'm here witnessing to the fact that this really happened in my life. Really happened.
This has
been I'm not sure what to think of it. Or just how to help other people with the story. Because I don't know, there's all these different names for things, and I barely even know the vocabulary, but I'm here like, I prayed in the name of Jesus and stuff happened to me. And the devil definitely seems to be like tempting me, and I'm sinning against my own will. Mm-hmm. In that I don't want to masturbate and give into that while I'm doing it. And I'm like, this is wrong, I don't like this. I'm distancing myself from God, I'm letting God down, I love God, and this does nothing for me. I literally had to tell all my roommates this morning, so I felt so bad. Crazy thing is though, but it's just my whole point is that I don't know anything up, down, left, right, but I know things have happened in my life, and I don't know what to call it. I don't know. This whole world
that's
has
crazy.
Preconceived
that's,
ideas.
That's
and
really
here
cool.
I am.
From his
because we're kind of coming from, it was ingrained in us.
Right. Yeah, we have family roots, religious roots.
And
my family, it's permeating the will of God in my life. They're seeing this crazy stuff happen, and that's making them believe.
Yeah, it's true. It's so cool. Like,
this is it.
It's so cool. I was like,
I'm really happy that I met you guys.
Yeah.
This has been really healing for me. It's been really,
likewise,
really deeply. I'm deeply considering many things. I definitely, you know, I'm not against God. I wanna further my understanding, because I've definitely had spiritual experiences. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's got me kind of understanding a little bit more of my journey. So obviously it led to this table.
Well, isn't that interesting how that happened? We were just saying...
The cool thing about me is that not only have I had, like, spiritual encounters, but I've also experienced the supernatural.
Yeah.
And that reassures me that there really is an afterlife.
Yeah, what do you mean by that, Matt? What are you filming?
The supernatural.
You already told me back at Anoka Ramsey Community College. That
yeah.
rocked me.
Well, I just really got into, like, ghost hunting, you know? So I'd go out and do ghost hunting.
Uh-huh.
And there were lots of things that I witnessed and experienced.
Could you give an example you'd be comfortable with sharing?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll tell you the ultimate story.
But we should pray after.
Yeah.
Well, they attract to this talk.
We were scientifically trying to capture evidences of the paranormal life, force, entity. And
you and your cousins?
We had all the devices, you know, like we were just on a mission to capture evidences, to prove to the world that there is an afterlife. Be aware.
Really blow it open.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so basically one of our experiences that we had is it was at an abandoned farmhouse, and we believe that in this farmhouse witchcraft was being practiced, because in the attic room, or the room that was kind of boarded off, you know, it was like on the upper level, there was like a pan of pig's blood, I think, in it, some animal sacrifice. There was still flesh chunks in it. It was really creepy. There was a ring in there with like a black gem, and it was in the pan of blood. And so there's definitely some like animal sacrifice, which leads to be suspicious that, yeah, witchcraft was being done there. And then we went, so we investigated the house during the daytime, and that's when we found all that stuff. Then we went there again at night with all of our materials and our tools. And then, basically, I'll just tell you the quick version of it. We were in a room, and...
Do you have a detailed version? Well, just see how you feel once you get going.
Okay, fine.
It's a lot of words, but it's helping
it
a
is,
lot.
It is, yeah. So, basically, right when we pull up to the house, even before we go set foot into the house, we roll the windows down and... We listened, and it was a perfect night for ghost hunting. Completely calm, still. There was even fog that set in. It was that calm, you know, and clear skies, moon lit up. Everything was perfect for ghost hunting. And when we rolled the window down, we just listened, and then we actually heard like footsteps, like right outside, running through the tall grass, like right beside our car's door to the house. Like something was coming to the house. Goosebumps.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh, did you all hear that? You know, and yeah. So then basically we're like all getting excited. We go inside and we go upstairs. And right as we get to about the top of the staircase, we heard like a rattling noise. And it sounded like a rattlesnake. And then it was like a hissing. So it was like, oh, there's snakes in here. And there's like no rattlesnakes in Minnesota.
No.
So it was weird.
What a coincidence from Adam and Eve's garden.
And then it was like we heard it from an opposite direction all of a sudden. Like it stopped in one corner of the room. Then we heard it from the very opposite corner of the room. We're like, huh.
Always a circle.
And then all of a sudden we started hearing it like all around us. So it like really freaked us out because it was happening from multiple points of the room all simultaneously at once, and it was really scary. So we're like, and that happened so quick, like we weren't standing there for like even a minute. So then we got really freaked out because we thought maybe it was an animal, like a real animal, so it kind of like drove us out of the house back to the car. Well, then we finally gained our guts to go back in, but when we went the second time, that didn't happen. And then we got up to one of the bedrooms up there, and they're like right across from each other, these two bedrooms, and then the pan of blood room is like the forefront room. And we were in the room to the left, and the moonlight was coming in this room, and the room was like really cool, old-fashioned, like slant wall, and
yeah.
Anyways, we closed the door to the room, and we all sat on this wooden floor in this room, and my cousin, he actually brought that ring with him home, and he left it at his trailer that he was living in, and but anyways, we'll get back to that later. Just know that he did that, and he left it at his house.
Okay.
But we were there in this room, and then that same cousin thought it would be a brilliant idea to copy what they were saying as a chant on the movie The Exorcism. The power of Christ compels you to leave. So we all start saying that, you know, sitting in this circle with a candle lit, you know, that's all we had for natural or unnatural light. But the room was well lit by the moon. So everything was going good. And then all of a sudden, the only way I can really explain the energy that was present at the moment was emotional energy from all of us.
Uh-huh.
And it was definitely the emotion of fear. And it fed off of our fear.
Which intensified it, probably.
It intensified it.
Gave it more power.
And it felt almost eventually that it manifested into a sense of static electricity, because
you
could feel the hairs on your skin raising on end, like even the hairs on the top of your head, you know, not just like on your arms, but it was like you felt like something was being lifted from you, like, and we all kind of felt that same way.
Uh-huh.
And it was crazy, and I've never felt that way. And then I remember above the ceiling, above us, it was very dark shadow that came to be about, and it was kind of like, I don't know how to explain it, it was just a darkness. And it kind of like, as we kept saying and chanting, like showing that we're more powerful than it, it was intimidating us. And it became darker and darker, and it kind of like, just kind of came down from the ceiling, the shadow, and completely eventually surrounded the entire room. This complete darkness, even blocking out the moonlight from the very window, and it was coming down and down and down, and the energy just kept intensifying, sense of fear to the sense of, like, you know, electricity, magnet pull. The room became very cold. I have my own theories on why the room grows cold during the presence of paranormal. Talk about that maybe at some other time. But the shadow came down all the way to like the doorknob, you know, and then like my older brother was like, stop, like told us to stop doing what we were doing.
Ooh.
My older brother Jeff, he told us to stop, and then as soon as we stopped, it like lit up like a light bulb turned on, but it was just the moonlight coming through again. That's how, like, and then all of a sudden the energy kind of just left. It was like the as fast as a wink of an eye, like, and the room lit up again, like, whoa. And then yeah, so that's what.
What about on the stairs down?
Yeah. And then after that, we were all pretty freaked out, you know, and the fear was still with us. And I remember I was like, really, I was panicking, you know, and I was really scared, and I braced myself up against the wall doing like chair sitting against the wall, you know, like whatever you call that, like chair wall, whatever that's called. And then
wall
all of a sudden
sitting.
Thank you. And then from the opposite side of the wall, a huge, almost like complete body weight of something threw itself at the wall right where I was up against it from the opposite side.
So it was just like a full thump.
Yeah, like a punch, a big whatever.
It felt like
thunk.
A body slamming.
Yeah. And then that, like, instant reflex just coming in. Like, I popped off that wall so fast.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was going to come through the wall.
Yeah.
And,
oh, my God.
I was like, you guys, we got to get out of here. And my fear was just really going now. It was just like, super panic mode. And my brother was calming me down. It's like, you gotta be calm right now. You gotta be calm right now. Just calm down, calm. And then I got calm. I got calmed down. And then all of a sudden, the door opened itself open. And I remember I might have been the only one that was able to see on the other side of that door as it opened, creaked open. It's like that perfect creak that an old door would make, you know, it's an old abandoned farmhouse.
Yeah.
And it came wide open. And, man, it was so dark on the other side. Like, the room on the other, like, it was dark already, but it was, like, pitch dark on the other side. And I felt like whatever was out there on the other side of the door had some reasonable height to it, probably. And it was pitch black. And I was, like, I was terrified. Oh, to the core. And my natural instincts was to slam that door shut. Like, I don't want to see you. Like, so I naturally just, I slammed the door. And
how long did you look at the thing across the hall until you slammed the door? What'd you say? Was it, like, instant, or did you give it a few seconds?
It was, like, I gave it a few seconds.
And you were just like,
I wanted to see what I was witnessing. I wanted to believe it was true, because as a ghost hunter, you kind of want to defy...
Make sure it's not your magic.
Defy nature. Yeah.
Right.
You want to make sure it's not...
Yeah.
Natural.
Totally.
So I was trying to challenge my mind for a quick, maybe 2 seconds. And I was just staring at it, like, how... Like, looking at the doorknob, I heard it unlatch, and I was, like, creating all of these thoughts in my head, and it opened itself. And I'm, like, realizing that, and then I'm looking into this...
Right.
And seeing this dark, and I'm, like, I've never had an encounter like this ever before, because this is, like, it's in control, in so much control, this entity... And I feel that it's capable of doing so much harm to me right now. I felt so unsafe. I felt scared for my life at this point. And I almost wanted to just run.
Do you think it could have killed you?
I don't know.
I don't think you can't die.
I don't think
they can make you die.
I don't think.
Are you sure?
It probably could. It probably could have killed me. It could
have around the room.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It could physically. Touch you, move you, manipulate you.
Slamming up against walls. You don't think it could grab Matt and...
It can. It could have. But...
Sounded pretty powerful.
I feel that because I've been baptized, I do have the Holy Spirit in me. And that's the only thing that was protecting me. And I think that's also a big part of why I was feeling that magnetivity pull, that challenge of my energy, of my Holy Spirit versus its evil. I feel like that's where that energy was... conflicting, yeah. But after that happened, though, and I just closed the door, we waited it out, because we were on the upper level and we weren't just going to jump out the window.
Mm. Yeah, probably.
And then as we all collectively gathered our calm sense, we left, and I was the last one in line to go down the stairs. And I remember fearing and feeling its presence around me, even though it probably wasn't, but just thinking that it was. And then, like, as I'm, like, midway down the steps, I heard it, like, coming, like, from the room, not the room we were in, but the opposite room across. And I heard its footsteps starting, and then I was like, guys, go, it's coming. I was like, gotta get out, you know, like, trying to hurry them because I want to get out. Like,
yeah,
in front of me, and they're
guys,
like, they're like, take your time. And it's like, this is the one time, like, I want to really break our rule of don't run out. And yeah, so as we're, like, leaving, its footsteps was very loud intently to scare us, and it was like running and chasing us out, basically. It was stomping as loud as it could down every step. And it, like, dun, 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 dun. Like, it was like, it started out slow, and then it, like, picked up its pace as it was coming down the stairs after us. And, like, we literally ran for the car, and we got in the car, and then we just hightailed it out of there.
Wow.
Yeah. But that was crazy.
That's not fucking crazy.
That was probably one of my scariest moments with Supernatural. And it reassured me that, you know, things happen when you die. There's other things among us.
I gotta just pray, because...
Yeah.
God, I just pray that you break off all evil that would be attracted to the recognition, God, of just demons, evil entities, and the devil, God. I just declare that he has no power, God, against you, God. And just that you are the Almighty, God. You are the caretaker of our souls, God, and we will rest in you, God, in your protection, in your mighty name, amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, in a way, it must be like, that it's such a negative energy, right? Super, super negative. You can't feel good around any of that, right? No. What if it's, you know, souls trapped on the other side and they're pissed about it?
I've encountered that too.
They're mad about it. They kind of have to be what they are at that point.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know.
And then the devil too is almost like...
I've captured voices, like, asking for help.
Well, it's almost like the devil is training them as soldiers.
If they can contact...
the negative energy.
If they can contact from the other side, is there any hope? Do you know what I mean? If they're able to,
there is hope.
Because there's angels too.
There's angels, and even I believe that we, the living, are able to help them. And in Catholicism, that's the whole reason why there's purgatory. And I do believe that
maybe purgatory is more of a. You're halfway between physical creation and the realm of God.
Granted, isn't that just a Catholic belief? Not other denominations believe in purgatory?
I think there's a few other that do.
Okay.
They're on a temporal plane.
Yeah, exactly. They have to show and build their respects to get into heaven. Because
so they
weren't
long.
It's not
and
a
maybe
pleasant
the
place.
People that practice manipulating them
mm-hmm.
is so like disruptive and disrespectful to what they're really trying to achieve. Because if on the other side all of that negative stuff you saw, like what if it was only being presented to you in a scary way, but on the other side of it was like, yo, I am trying to get out of this, but that whoever was at that farmhouse prior was conjuring.
They were attracting those souls.
Right.
Right? Is that what you're thinking?
That's what I'm saying. And so they must get really mad. Like, they must be freaking out, throwing stuff around to get you to stop doing it so that they're not closer to the earth plane.
Now, I did that Madeline girl that I was like, yeah, I almost married her. Right?
Uh-huh.
She had said that there was a lot of, like, ghost stuff that happened at her house, and so did her little brother, and I was like, oh my gosh, this chick is crazy, right? I was not buying it, till one day, we were hanging out in my room, on my bed, and all of a sudden, one of my big, I collected football cards like crazy, my books were, like, overflowed, it was a heavy book, flew off my top shelf. Projected across the room, practically flew across the room.
No way.
To this day, I don't know how to explain that. And
wow.
People, I say, do you know what they do instantly to protect themselves? They're like, yeah, I don't know how that happened, man. Because it's real. It's real. And the scary thing, I mean, well, the cool thing is, for example, my our roommate Kyle Sally has a fiance, recently engaged, actually. Named Ellie, right? When she was a little girl, she fell off her deck and got brought back up. Her parents saw it happen.
She fell and
she didn't hit the ground. She came back up on the deck. So angels are real too.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus Christ did die on that cross, and there is a creator of the universe, and there is a heaven, and there is a hell. And the spiritual is more real than the physical, but Christianity got a bad rap. I'm sure the enemy does not want people to like Jesus Christ and see the whole thing as a sham. I'm sure of it. The Bible does say the road is slim.
Narrow.
And narrow. And not many will make it.
It's a narrow gate.
It's a narrow gate, as Matthew says in Matthew.
Because I wonder if it is.
But to me, it's like, I don't know how to explain all this, but this fits it pretty good.
I wonder if it's a deep inner work, though, too. People won't turn to their own inner kaleidoscope to try to find that connection by humbling themselves in prayer, fasting, and you know what I'm saying? There's so much on the surface that they haven't done any deep inner work. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying, yeah.
And that's something that I think is beautiful about Eastern philosophy, to really try to go within, to try to create inner peace. And then if you tie in Christianity into that, you really get a prayer life, then you can really, you can see it from multiple perspectives.
And yeah.
And it's more dimensional that way. Huh.
It's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
And try and, like, see, put yourself in my shoes. What am I to do about this? Because stuff, bro, like, for real. I was not. I told you about my past.
Uh-huh.
I told you what happened with that girl, didn't I? That I left outside. And things I used to do like that.
Yeah.
And the drugs.
Yeah.
A year ago, I wasn't talking to my dad, and the first time I saw him again, I think he was a little weirded out by me because I couldn't look anybody in the eyes. I had to come up with all these like little tricks so like we could break eye contact casually, because I didn't want people to look at my soul. So I was so ashamed. A year later, here I am testifying that Jesus Christ saved my life. Saved me from suicide, saved me from being homeless, saved me from self-destruction.
Did you have suicide ideation?
Dude, I was so like, dude, there's no point. Everyone's selfish. Everyone's out.
It's too much.
Everyone's
work.
Chasing something, and it's there's nothing hard. To chase. Not even that. It's not worth it. What is the reward? What am I chasing? Money?
That it's a cheap trick.
I don't even care about money.
That life is a cheap trick?
Yeah. And then you know what happened? God planted me in Blaine, where I live now, and this was a year after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, because I walked away from it. So, not this Christmas of 2017, this one, this last year, right? 2016, going on 2017, I met Kyle Sally. He is a family friend. We talked about Christianity for 3 hours and asked if he could pray for me, and I got jolted for 5 minutes with the Holy Spirit. And he said,
"It's crazy for him. Like,
felt that
he
too.
Received it through baptism, but he
and
was like,
baptism, it happened again.
Yeah,
and more spiritual stuff and other things,
really,
meeting
really
people,
incredible.
Working in a high school, getting kicked out for praying for a kid that asked for my Bible
crazy.
That was transgender."
That's
transgender
crazy.
Kid asked if he could have my Bible after I prayed for him. I was crying. Bro, I'm saying God is like, I'm God's vessel. And I pray to be.
That's clearly God's work, you know? Like,
you know, and even meeting Nick, having so much success, us getting along so well. There was a kid with Down syndrome, one of my friends at church, that didn't know I was looking for a job, that said, "Chris, don't worry, God's going to give you a job." I'm like, "What did you just say?"
Yeah.
And here I am, working with you. Doing well, making as much money as possible.
Yeah.
And we're vibing. You're a former Christian. Nick is struggling in his faith. I don't even know what faith is, and here I am, and this crazy stuff has happened to me, and I have a story to share.
A council, a Knights of the Round Table is collaborating.
Bro, for real, it's just like, God's crazy, man, and he does it all the time. Even in service, like, somebody will, like, something will happen in pre-service prayer and during worship, like, something will happen that lines up with that. And then there's, like, God has a theme for what he's doing for the night.
Yeah.
And just crazy stories, bro. Crazy testimonies, bones being healed. Our pastor came back from the dead. Bro, he died in a motorcycle accident.
He had, like, an out-of-body experience.
And the craziest thing is, before he died, do you know what he was doing? He was having house parties down in Dinkytown. Just to invite over Christians and convince them that it's all sham. But he was dying, brought back to life, and now he's a pastor. For real, bro. There's some crazy stuff, bro. And
so he was
like,
on the other side of it.
And he described it.
Wonder,
he could see his body. He said he could see his body. And everybody
experience.
Was like trying to revive him. And he's like, "I'm right here."
I almost wonder then.
This is just
if God is like. And this, I'm not trying to put it in, like, very, like, a scientific term or anything, but maybe, like the light of God, the Holy Spirit, the embodiment of all that would be like absolute positive loving creation. Well, and maybe
science is really only just man trying to define God's word.
It's like religion, like, same thing.
We want the definition.
That's why religion and science are so like, ah, right? Because it's man's deal.
Do you know what I'm saying about that? Yeah. Like all the other side of that, it would be all negative.
Right.
And like for like all the non-believers of God, all the atheists especially, it's like you know, God is definitely the creator because
intelligent design is being proven by science.
No science though can recreate life from, because only life can create life, meaning reproduction. Like,
okay.
It would otherwise require cloning. That's the closest they've gotten. But they can't actually manifest life at first hand. Like, that's what God does through reproduction of human beings or whatever is able to reproduce. Like, everything that can reproduce, basically. So, I mean, that's pretty amazing, you know, that you can't create something new and give it life. Unless you're already alive. Yeah. I just think that's like, whoa. You know, you stop and you look at it like that, and it's like, wow, yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, the DNA structure, everything, every person's their own unique being. Even twins don't have the same thumbprints.
Right.
You know?
Every snowflake is different.
Yeah. It's so incredible. It's just incredible.
The craziest idea to me is that there could just be a void. There could be nothing. There could just be black. I mean, you can't really remember before you were born.
No.
Right?
No.
And the fact that we're even all just sitting here having a conversation is...
I mean, you can go so deep philosophically, but you always get back to one point. And that is, how did we get here, and how can I wonder that? How am I conscious enough to think that? How am I conscious enough to wonder how did I get here and why don't I know and why doesn't anybody really know?
Right.
But there's all these other things happening that we can't see, that are be another sense. How is that? But you always get there. You put names on it. You make sounds for it. There's Greek. You put all the labels on it. But at the end of the day, how did I get here? And what do I do now that I'm here? I have no idea.
If this morning was your first day awake,
bro, for real, it's a good thing babies can't talk, because they'd come out with some trippy stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
they'd be like, "Where did I come from?" And you'd be like, "Me," and you'd be like,
"They'd be like,
where'd you come from?" Well, my parents. Where did it start? Where does it end? What the heck is going on? And why don't you know? And so this is what you're doing, and you get to a point where it's just like, you have to go with the flow and stop thinking like that, otherwise you're gonna go crazy. Because if you think about it long enough, you really just are almost like, well, maybe I just want to be done and figure out where I came from and just end it, see what happens. Crazy stuff like that, right? You go crazy town trying to figure that out, because you don't have a definite answer. But what I'm saying is, other stuff has happened that has taken me from someone that couldn't look someone in the eye to someone that goes up in front of church and tells them God loves them, going in grocery stores saying, yo, God has a special purpose for your life. Yeah. He changed my life forever, and he is going to bless you.
Yeah.
Everyone I saw, 35 people, didn't
Seriously,
even care.
No lie.
Couldn't look people in the eyes last year.
Well, I pulled over for him to pray for people on the street today.
Wasn't like that before. Don't know what's in it for me.
Yeah.
But I have faith that God would bless them. Really, I believe that.
Oh, yeah.
That's new for me, bro. I was not brought up in that. I get what the whole church Christian, why it's lame. Why people think it's lame. It's because humans came over and polluted it. And they don't even know God. But they preach to people like they're living it up, knowing God all the time. And making hypocrites of Christianity. Like the people that killed Jesus were hypocrites. Christians killed Jesus Christ. The people that followed Moses' law killed Jesus Christ. Literally. And you don't think he was making a point about that? God created... He's holding it together right now. Every detail.